Welcome to Tabby Tabby Pod, Season 3, Episode 1. I'm your host, Ethan. This is a bi-weekly podcast about Philippine folklore, mysteries, paranormal stories, and maybe some foreign myths. Hey there! Thanks for clicking this episode. Recently, the podcast had an influx of new listeners, which is really, really great, so I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. In the first episode of Season 3, I am going to share with you a deformed spirit or humanoid creature from the Itneg or commonly known as the Tingguian tribe called the Yalan. Now before we start, I just want to say that I think, based on my research, that there are two types of this creature. I'm saying that because I got confused doing research for this episode, but I guess it went well, so yeah. I still hope you'll learn something new. So let's start. A little side note, the tribe prefers to be called Itneg. The word Tingguian came about when the Spaniards arrived in the Philippines and called them such because they are mountain dwellers. Itnegs are situated in the upland province of Abra in the Philippines in northwestern Luzon. Now, in Maximo D. Ramos's book, The Creatures of Philippine Lower Mythology, Alan is described as having long arms, fingers pointing back from his wrist, and his toes are back from his feet. They are said to be as large as a normal person. They are often said to be huge and have wings and can fly. Allegedly, their toes stretch when they walk. It is said that the Alan live in the depths of the dark forest where people seldom walk. They reportedly live in golden houses near springs or streams. They are known to spend their time hanging from trees, upside down like a bat. The Alan are known to be reasonably harmless, contrary to their dreadful description. They are polite, helpful, and can perform tasks or provide useful information to humans. They are rumored to adopt and raise human children abandoned in the forest as their own. Don't worry, they will reunite the missing children with their birth families. And when they do, the Alan will bestow great wealth upon the family. The Alan may also give the family the golden houses in which they live, which typically appear on the next day in the family town. Now, the Alan doesn't have his own children. This means that no one can inherit their treasures or property. That is why they make their own children. Yes, you heard me right. Alan creates their own human child. How, you ask? By collecting bodily waste, menstrual blood, and miscarried fetuses. An Alan will collect the ingredients, mostly from the water, after a woman has gone to wash her hair or her body. They place them in a dish that they inherited from previous generations. They put the blood or the ingredients and then cover it. The process itself is odd, but they mean no harm, so it's okay, I suppose. The only time I read that the Alan became violent was in the story, Alan and the Hunters. In this story, the Alan and her baby suffered a horrible death from the people to whom they showed kindness. They took the gold from their house after the hunters killed the Alan and her baby. I am unsure if I can read the whole story here, so I'll just link the rest of the tale in the description box. However, Mr. Ramos also mentioned in his book that Alan feeds on human victims despite information suggesting that they are harmless. They look for their prey with their keen smell. Now this is the cannibalistic version of Northern Luzon's Alan. This is the version that I'm talking about, because when I was doing my research, most of them were pointing out to this creature being relatively nice. But this one that preys on people contradicts that statement. Because again, why are they described as harmless and helpful when they eat human? That's why I came to the conclusion that maybe this creature has two types, or it's maybe just the Northern Luzon's version of the Alan, a cannibalistic type creature. Anyway, remember when I said earlier that they're making their own descendants or children? When they bore a handsome son, they make sure the son marries a human maiden. And the Alan exchanges the baby for a fruit when the son's wife gives birth. Now I was puzzled by the fruit trade. But they apparently can exchange their green mangoes for human male infants, from what I've heard. See, this is the part that bothers me because obviously exchanging your child for a mango or even just a random fruit is a bit much. However, in my theory, maybe it was all that valuable that could give the person wealth or could give you some powers. Don't quote me on that one. It's just my take on it because it's a weird exchange. I don't know whether or not the women were hypnotized or it's a common practice. There's not much information as to why the Alan exchanges the baby for a fruit. But maybe, just maybe, the Alan wants a real human child to call its own. In any case, I didn't find any information on how to avoid the Alan or ward them off. So, every man for himself, I guess. And that is it for the first episode of Season 3. It's a very short one, and I hope you enjoyed listening and learned something new. I hope you were able to understand my ramblings about these two creatures because I was really confused when I was writing this script. This was a very interesting creature though, and the process of researching and writing the script is actually quite fun. So lastly, if you would like to support this podcast, please buy me a coffee at www.ko-fi.com/tabitabipod or my GCash that will be posted in the description box. Thanks for listening to Tabby Tabby Pod with me, Ethan. Join us next time when we talk about other mythical creatures in the Philippines. Bye!